You're listening to Immaculate Conception Podcasts, recorded every Sunday at the 11 o'clock Mass at our new church located at 411 Palmer Road in Columbia, Illinois. For more information about Immaculate Conception, please go to www.icc-columbia-il.us. Our pastor is Father Carl Scheer. And now, enjoy the podcast.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. When I was growing up, there was an elderly couple that lived not far from our house who were a little different. They kept to themselves. They seemed to be very simple and even poor. Their house was not fancy. They drove an old dilapidated car, and there was just nothing about, they had no children, just the two of them, and they kept off by themselves. But they were members of our church. And so my mother and father, who always tried to practice what was preached, reached out to them, especially when they became elderly and could not fend for themselves. My mom and dad, without asking or expecting anything in return, would just take Joe and Rose to the doctor, to the grocery, to church, to the bank, any place they needed to go, and just took them there and brought them back home. Just simply because that's what you do when you are a Christian. Well, years followed years, and Joe died first, and then Rose lived another couple years. But after she passed away, the biggest surprise in the world came. She left a handwritten will on the table next to the chair where she died in her home that said, because of their kindness, she left all of their earthly possessions to my mother and father. Well, big deal. They were poor people, so we thought. Turned out that they were not quite as poor as one would believe, and they had lots of stuff in their house. The financial part of it was a godsend because we didn't know how we were going to take care of my mom and dad's medical expenses when they got elderly, and it just kind of came at the right time and solved that problem. The big problem was the house that my mom and dad inherited and had to clean out. In plain simple language, Joe and Rose were not only eccentric, they were pack rats. You never saw a house so cluttered and full of junk, especially in the basement. It seems that Joe and Rose, who had quite a bit of money, by the way, every time a new bank or a SNL would open up, you know how they used to offer premium gifts, put in $100 or $200 and we'll give you a toaster or something like that. Well, in the basement of Joe and Rose's house, stacked from floor to ceiling and from wall to wall, there were at least 30 toasters. Could not tell you how many steam irons and waffle irons and appliances, you know, blenders, all that stuff, all in multiple numbers. We had to get rid of it. And my mother said at the time, I was already a priest, she said, too bad you didn't have a parish. Well, you could have had a whole bazaar just on this house full of junk. And so they had to get rid of all that stuff. I think of that every time, every 3 years when this gospel comes up, when this young fellow comes running up to Jesus, wants to know how he's going to get to heaven, and we are told that he went away sad because he had many possessions. He had lots of stuff. We're going to come back to that in just a moment. Let's look at the scriptures for today. Before we even get into stuff, there's a phrase in the scripture. I just want to clear this up once and for all. I would say that 99% of all Catholics and Christians everywhere do not understand what Jesus meant when he said it is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to get into heaven. I am so sorry to tell you, Jesus was not talking about sowing. farthest thing from his mind. At the time of Jesus, and this is your bit of useless knowledge for this week, so you tell all the people at work that you found something out about the Bible. In ancient times, because enemies ran around and attacked all the time, every city had a wall around it. And they kept the main gate closed most of the time so that the inhabitants were safe. But on a daily basis, people had to go to the fields outside the walls to tend to the crops and their business and everything else. And so instead of opening the main gate at certain intervals along the wall, there was a small passageway, just wide enough for one person and so low that you had to stoop to get in and out. That way an enemy coming on a horseback or on a camel or something like that could not get into the city. But ordinary pedestrians, one by one, could come and go when the coast was clear. Those little holes in the wall were called the needle's eye. That's what Jesus was talking about. Not sewing. I could never thread a needle my entire life. My mother tried to teach me that, but it wasn't about sewing. It was about the system of protecting cities and those little holes in the wall. They were called the eyes of the needle. So now you know something totally useless about the Bible. Well, the story of the young man is quite clear. Jesus told him, and this is where we have to begin to examine ourselves as well. Notice that when he was trying to justify himself, he said, I have kept all the Ten Commandments. He even went through a whole bunch of them. And Jesus said, that's great, but that's not it. That's only part of it. And I'm a little worried that sometimes when we go to the Sacrament of Reconciliation, we accuse ourselves, some of us even have a grocery list based on the Ten Commandments. That's great. How many people come to confession or the Sacrament of Reconciliation and accuse themselves of hoarding material things or not sharing with the poor, which is the lesson Jesus was teaching here? The Ten Commandments were fine. That got us through the entire Old Testament. But Jesus came and gave us the commandment of loving God and loving our neighbor as ourselves. So that's the first thing to remember. The commandments are great, but it's not everything. Okay, well, what about, what does Jesus say? He said, if you want to be my disciple, you got to travel light, get rid of most of your stuff, and come and follow me. Trust God. God will take care of our needs. We don't have to collect everything and haul it around in trailers from one place to the other. Jesus wanted a core of disciples who could go quickly from place to place, announce the gospel, and depend on the charity of the people they served. They didn't have to take, like we do when we go on vacation, everything with them. The other readings, of course, reinforce this lesson. The second reading in Hebrews said that God's word is living and active. It gets right to the heart of things. And we ought to always be willing to study the scripture and let it cut right to the quick and even make us a little bit uncomfortable. The first reading, of course, said the very same thing. It said we should be people of wisdom, especially with the virtue of prudence. So let's get to the lesson for today, our stuff. Before I get into what you might do, let me tell you myself, I joined the Franciscan Order in 1959. I didn't have much stuff at that point, at only 20 years old, but I had to get rid of what I had. And I went into the first year called the novitiate, and they gave me a brown robe to wear with a white rope around the middle, a bare room that had a horrible lumpy bed in it, a very simple desk and a hard chair. There was no electric light in my room, and there was no running water. I knew poverty that first year really well. The sad part of it is that after I made my vows and then worked my way up toward ordination as a priest, every year I just reversed the process and kept getting more stuff. To this day, I still am forced, because I'm a Franciscan friar, I have to live in one room, but I got a great closet that's full of stuff. I've collected this and that, and you know how it is. It's our natural human tendency to save for everything for a rainy day that never gets here. And when I preach to you, I need to preach to myself as well. I would suggest, too, if you see them around church, ask Father Carl, who just yesterday moved from a 13-room house to a 2-room apartment. Painful. You have to get rid of a lot of stuff. I don't know how he's handling it, but I'm sure it's going to be an experience for him. But let's face it, all of us are in this. We're Americans. We accumulate stuff by the tons. We go to the mall and come home, both arms full of bags, full of stuff. Seldom do we ever go out to the dumpster with the same amount. And so it just keeps building up. And so I suggest that that's the first lesson that we need to learn. I do. Father Carl learned it yesterday. And you too. Go to your closet, which probably, remember Fibber McGee, some of us old guys, and just attack the darn thing. Give it to the poor. Give it to St. Vincent de Paul. Most of the stuff in our closets we don't need. Clothes that haven't fit us for years. And all kind of odds and ends that we've been saving for a rainy day that's never going to come. Everybody could stand to clean up the closet. Well, after you get through there, you might try your basement. My sister's basement over in St. Louis, I mean, we talk about it, I mean, in bad language. It was as bad as Joe and Rose in my mom and dad's experience. She needs to get to the basement. And then maybe to the attic after that. If your house has an attic, that's a good place to keep stuff that you're never going to use. Then you might go to the garage. That's a great spot. A lot of people have 2 and 3 car garages, and they can't even get a single vehicle in them because of everything that's coming out every which crack whatsoever. And then some of us, I haven't had this experience yet, you can get so much stuff that you have to rent one of those lockers out on the edge of town where people charge you to store your stuff. Well, I think the first reason is exactly what Jesus says. It's okay to own things. God blesses us with a great deal of prosperity, but hoarding and accumulating way beyond our needs can be a distraction and even sinful. So we need to police ourselves from time to time and go through and start giving away and trusting God and taking a little bit of a risk. And if you can't come up with a good spiritual reason for doing it, at least do it so that you don't drop dead and your inherited people have to clean it up after you have gone to glory. Just simply, no reason for us to be hoarding and accumulating as much as we do. So there you have it. If the shoe fits, wear it, as the old saying goes. And I don't think there's probably anybody here to whom this doesn't apply in some way or another. I could even start with my desk. I can't even see the wood on it anymore. So there you go. Jesus said, we need to travel light, be good disciples while we're here in this world, trust in God's mercy and providence, and then trust in his promise. What a wonderful conclusion to this teaching. Peter had to ask this question too. We gave up everything. Jesus said, don't worry about it, Peter. I'm going to beat you 100 times over. I don't care what you gave up. Family, friends, stuff. I'm going to make sure that you have treasure forever in the kingdom of heaven. That's the great promise that we hear in the scriptures. I think it's just a wonderful thing, especially at this beautiful time of the year. So may God bless us and help us to be good disciples. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.